There was a question on the mind of Jesus. That question was, were there not 10 that was cleansed? Where are the other 9? One day Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And on his way, Jesus came to a village where 10 lepers were abiding. They were living there. And we know something about leprosy, my brothers and sisters, at least leprosy of that day. It was a very hideous disease, so much so that if a person was to contract leprosy, they would be isolated from the rest of their family, from their community. If they were to meet someone coming from a distance, they would have to cry out, unclean, unclean, so that everybody would know that they were lepers. Many times their provisions, their clothing, everything would have to be destroyed, burned, even their homes at times. Jesus was at a distance from them one day as he was making this journey, and when they saw him, they cried out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." The reputation of Jesus had followed him. He had the power to do many miracles, even to cleanse the leper, to make them whole. And when Jesus heard their cry, he was moved with compassion. He gave them instruction. He told them what to do. And out of faith, they walked according to that instruction. They did as Jesus did. And as they went away, they were made clean. What a tremendous testimony of God's wonderful grace, his compassion at work in the lives of those who cry out to him for help. The invitation went out to all who would believe, to whosoever will. Jesus is recorded as saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Hebrew writer writes, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need." The ten lepers, they boldly came to Jesus, and they received a generous portion of God's grace. They asked, and they received. Just as Jesus said that they would receive, they received. But only one took time to come back and say, "Thank you." The question has been asked a few times at least, what about the other 9? Who were they? Well, because the scripture identifies the one as a Samaritan, it is implied that the other 9 were perhaps Jewish. And maybe they thought, "This is my entitlement. This is something I deserve. This is the children's bread." And so they failed to come back and simply say, "Thank you." How is your attitude of gratitude? Let us pray. Our Father, as we take a few moments this morning and as we focus our attention upon these 10 lepers, upon your word, help each one of us, Lord, as your church, to be reminded of your attitude about gratitude, about thanksgiving. Recall to our mind the many blessings that you have favored us with this past month, as well as throughout our entire lifetime, Lord. And help us to be bold to declare for your glory and for your honor. Praise due your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a pretty miserable person who has an ungrateful heart. Without doubt, you have probably met some. They feel entitled. They're always there. They have their hand out, ready to receive. But they never take time to say thank you. They come rushing in, they make their request, and they go out without saying thank you. And usually they're the first ones to complain. If there's one little thing that is wrong, they are the first one to complain about it. How many of you enjoy being around an ungrateful person? How many of you enjoy doing things for ungrateful people? It used to be taught that a grateful attitude was just common courtesy. It was just good manners to say thank you. This fellow was raised with three siblings, and we were post-depression era. And we had less than what we even needed. So consequently, we were always borrowing. We said it was borrowing, but actually we were begging. And many times my mother would send one of us kids to the next door neighbor. Their name was the Corbetts, Mr. and Mrs. Corbett. And my mom would say to me something like this, John, go over to Corbett's and see if you could borrow a cup of sugar or a cup of milk. My father would send us over to Corbett's to borrow a tool because they had the best of tools and we did not. But my mother would always say to me, John, make sure you thank them. And when we came back, my mother would say, John, did you thank them? And I said, oh, man, I forgot. She said, go back and thank them. When I took the tool back, my dad would say, John, did you thank Corbett for the use of his tools? It was just instilled within us to say thank you. You know, God appreciates it when we say unto him, thank you. I believe Jesus was somewhat shocked when only one of the 10 came back to say thank you. His question was, where are the other 9? Were there not 9 that were cleansed? Or were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where was the other 9? Unto that one that did return, Jesus said to them, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. The question has been asked at least a few times, well, what about the other 9? Did they lose their healing? Did they lose their cleansing? I don't know. There's nothing said in the scripture. I don't think so. But I know one thing. Jesus recognized the fact that they were ungrateful and they did not come back to say thank you. The Bible is full of exhortation unto praise and thanksgiving, my brothers and sisters. In Psalms 100, we read, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who hath made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks unto Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good. Do you know that? That God is good? God is good all the time, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. In Psalms 103, I learned it as a young child of God, and it's precious to my heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That word blessed could mean praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Wow. What benefits there are to know God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 8, we read, "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done." Brothers and sisters, we have studied the book, heard messages on the one cry. Praying together, crying out to God with one voice for revival, for spiritual awakening. But if that's going to happen, there has to be another step. And that is, those who have experienced God's blessings must stand up and declare to the nations God's goodness. Yes. Yes. We must do that. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, we read, "Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord always. Give thanks to God, the Father of everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." A grateful attitude. It grows out of faith in the fact that God won't forsake you. He won't forsake you. In the worst of times, in the best of times, God is with you. And having this assurance is the key to experiencing peace in the midst of troubled times. Ah, our nation is experiencing troubled times. Each one of you perhaps are experiencing something of a troubled time. The key to having peace is being sure that God is there with you, that He won't forsake you, and that every good and perfect gift that you experience is that which has come down from God. And there are no variables. He doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul writes unto the church at Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And he doesn't just say it once, but he says, "And again I say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near." How many of you know that the Lord is near? Do not be anxious about anything. You know, God is the most carefree God I know. Most carefree person. The psalmist said, "Fear not." Jesus said, "Don't worry." Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing." Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with what? With thanksgiving unto God. Present your request unto God, and the peace, there's that word, the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And so finally, my brothers and sisters, Paul would write, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Can you see the connection between an attitude of gratitude and having the peace of God, the assurance, faith in the midst of troubled times? Peace and assurance, faith, because God is at hand. Because, you see, God loves grateful people. He loves a grateful heart. The psalmist tells us that God, the Holy One of Israel, inhabits the praises of the saints. He tents right among us. He camps among us, my brothers and sisters. When God's people stand up and praise him, God is present. Amen. And where God is present, there is love. And there is joy. There is peace. There is freedom. Do you desire the presence of God in your midst? Well, let's take an opportunity just to stand up and say, thank you, God, for those things that God has blessed you with the past month, past few months, the past year, or maybe as you look back on your entire life, you think about what God has done in your life, or maybe for your loved ones. Sometimes the ones we love the most, we take most for granted. We don't stand up and say, you know, I love you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. And so, as the Apostle Paul wrote, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything that is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Perhaps as you have heard the testimonies, you heard praise unto God, praise unto God's people, and any praise that goes unto God's people goes back to God because it's all because of God, all because of Jesus. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, I don't know God in this way. I've never had a miracle happen in my life as I've heard, but I need them, but I have never experienced it. And Brother Don is going to lead us in the song, Amazing Grace. It's all because of God's amazing grace, my brothers and sisters, that any one of us could be here, testify, experience God's love. And so if you don't know God in this personal way, if you've never experienced him as Brother Eddie experienced, if you don't know Jesus in this way, you know, he puts forth a petition. He invites you to come. And so I want to invite you to come, okay? I want to invite you to come and make your election and calling sure with Jesus Christ. Our altars, we have some altars. I'd be happy to pray with you. Pastor Don would be happy to pray with you. We have others that would be happy to pray with you. But if you have a need, if you're going through a burden, if you're going through a trial, and the burden is heavy, don't carry it alone, but give it to God.